So we're in the midst of the story of Sippur Yetziat Mitzrayim, story of the Bnei Israel, our forefathers who were enslaved in Mitzrayim. Parashat Bo. Parashat begins Vayomer Hashem el Moshe Bo el Paro. Come to Paro. Because I hardened his heart and the hearts of his servants. Leman shiti ototai ele bekirbo, so that I will show off my signs, my miracles. So I will show it off to the Mitzrim, to Paro and Mitzrayim. Okay, question number one. There's something grammatically off with the first pasuk. Hashem tells Moshe, bo el Paro. Shvi lech el Paro. Right? It's like I'm telling you, come over there. I'm over here, and I'm telling you, come over there. Does that make any sense? No. When you say come, it means come to me. So Hashem is telling Moshe, come to Paro. What's going on? Should be lechet, should be go to Paro. Question number two. In this week's parasha, we also have the Korban Pesach. Towards the end of the parasha, one of the final steps of Yetziat Mitzrayim was that the Bnei Yisrael were commanded to take the sheep, the god of the Mitzrim, and to bring it as a korban. And that's called a Korban Pesach. In addition, one more thing they were commanded to do at the end of Yetziat Mitzrayim was what? Brit Milah. To all get a Brit Milah. And in fact, the Chazal say that Bizchut Dam Pesach and Dam Milah, Bizchut, the blood of the Korban Pesach and the blood of the Milah, they were saved and they were redeemed. They were saved from Makat Bechorot. They were redeemed from Mitzrayim. So I understand Korban Pesach. I understand why that was necessary. Why was that necessary? Why was the zchut of the Korban Pesach a zchut that helped them be redeemed from Mitzrayim? Because, as we said, the Korban Pesach was the god of the Mitzrayim. And think about it. You're enslaved by a nation. You take their god and you slaughter it in front of their eyes. What's going to happen? They're going to go and chop your head off. But the Bnei Israel had such a strong emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem said, do it. They did it. They didn't care about what was going to happen. And in fact, a miracle happened that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made them freeze, made the Mitzrim freeze when they saw, oh my God, you're taking my God and you're killing him. They were going to go and kill them with the Bnei Israel. Hashem made them freeze. That was a big miracle. And because of that, we have Shabbat HaGadol. Because it took place on the Shabbat right before Yetziat Mitzrayim.
I have a question. If they had emunah in Hashem, why when they went to Yam Suf, they started screaming to Moshe that they wanted to go back?
That was only a part of them, not everyone. That was a lot of Chazal say that was the Erev Rav. Erev Rav, the ones who converted from the Mitzrim. The Erev Rav, they wanted to go back to Mitzrayim. Okay. That's one answer. There are many answers. But again, the emunah that they had, that they showcased, that they illustrated, that they trusted HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bizchut that they were redeemed. It also says in Chazal, bizchut emunah nigalu, uvizchut emunah atidim leigael. In the zchut of emunah, we were redeemed, and in the zchut of emunah, we will be redeemed. So we see Korban Pesach emunah, beautiful. Dam milah. What does that have to do with anything? Why is that in any way connected to Mitzrayim? Why is that in any way connected to Paro, Mitzrayim, the Mitzrim, the Egyptians?
They stopped. They obligated they just to not make the Milah. They were slaves.
Is that true? Yeah.
No, if they stopped to do it.
Well, they were never. They were. I don't know.
There should be a reason why they stopped to do Milah.
So you're saying like this. You're saying that until that point, until they came to Mitzrayim, everyone had Brit Milah. Everyone had Brit Milah. Which makes sense to say that, because from when Avraham Avinu had Brit Milah, he gave his children Brit Milahs, and you would assume that they gave their children Brit Milahs, so on and so forth. And in fact, there's a Rashi that says exactly what you're saying. Rashi says, when the brothers came down to Mitzrayim, I don't know if you remember this, when the brothers came down to Mitzrayim, and Yosef said, Ani Yosef, Ahod Avichai, right? And they didn't believe him. So Rashi says what? He showed them the Milah. So he had a Milah. You're right. Showed them the Milah. Proved it. So you're saying a very, very beautiful answer. You're saying, we see that in the history they had Brit Milahs from the time of Avraham Avinu. So why is it now they didn't have a Brit Milah? It must be because the Mitzrim said no more Brit Milah. So now, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded them to get a Brit Milah, even though the Mitzrim said not to get a Brit Milah, they showed that they had Emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they didn't care about what the Mitzrim did, and therefore they got a Brit Milah. And that's why it's the same as Korban Pesach. Bizchut the Korban Pesach and Bizchut the Brit Milah. Beautiful answer. Beautiful answer. It's not what we were going to talk about, but that's a beautiful answer. Wow. Write that down. Say that over on your Shabbat table. Wherever you are. Okay? We know because of the Korban Pesach and because of the Brit Milah, the Bnei Yisrael were redeemed. I understand Korban Pesach, they killed the God of the Mitzrim, they showed Emunah Hashem, they weren't scared of the Mitzrim. Why Brit Milah? Beautiful answer. We're going to give another answer, Bezat Hashem. That's question number two. What's with the Brit Milah? Question number three. There's another midrash that says that the Bnei Yisrael were redeemed not because of Korban Pesach and the Brit Milah. They were redeemed shelo shinu et shemam. They didn't change their names. Et malbusham, their clothing, their dress. Vet leshonam, and their language. They didn't change their names, their language, the way they spoke, and they didn't change the way they dressed. What does this have to do with being redeemed from Mitzrayim? It's not a showcase of Emunah. I don't know. What does that mean? That's question number three. Question number four, last question, is that this Pasuk, the second Pasuk, open it up, second Pasuk in Parashat Bo, says, let's read it inside.
Second pasuk.
Ulman
tzaber beozne bincha ubem bincha et asher
italalti b'mitzrayim. So basically, Hashem is telling Moshe, go and tell Paro, go to Paro. I hardened his heart. Why did I harden his heart? I made his heart hard and stubborn, so that he will not let you go, so that I could show more miracles for you, and at the expense of the Mitzrim, and also so that Ulaman Tesaper Boz Nevin, that you should tell your children, your grandchildren, Et Asher Hitalalti B'Mitzrayim, that which I was Mitalel B'Mitzrayim. What does Rashi say? Hitalalti means, read Rashi. The first word in that Rashi, Hita'alalti. Sa.
Hita'alalti.
Etasher Hita'alalti. Sachakti. What's Sachakti? Tzadi and Samech are interchangeable. I laughed at them. I made a joke out of them. What's this joke that Hashem is making out of the Mitzrim? What's the depth of this? So now, those are the four questions. Why is it boil paro, not lechel paro? What's the two things, dam pesach and dam milah? I understand korban pesach. What about brit milah? Number three, they didn't change their names, their language, and their clothing. What does that have to do with being redeemed? Number four, what's this mockery? What's this joke that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is playing on the Mitzrim? So now, we know that Mitzrayim, Chazal say, is the father of all the galuyot that the Bnei Yisrael are ever going to experience. All the galuyot that Bnei Yisrael, all the exiles that we're ever going to experience, is hinted to in Mitzrayim. So therefore, in order to know how to act in galut, in each and every single one of the galut, in order to know how to act, we have to see what was it like in Mitzrayim. based on what it was like in Mitzrayim, that's how we're going to learn how to act in this galut. So in what way does the galut of Mitzrayim show us how to live in galut? So now, if a person pays attention, you can understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mastir himself, he hid himself, his presence was hidden throughout the time that the Bnei Yisrael were in Mitzrayim. What happened was that the Bnei Yisrael went into Mitzrayim first because it was for Yosef. They went, there was a famine, they went into Mitzrayim, and then what happened was that all the brothers died, Yosef, Levi, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, everyone died. There was a new Paro, either it was an actual new Paro,
or the same one
beautiful, two shots in Rashi, right? There's a new Paro that didn't remember the Jews. And then what happened was that they saw the Jews, they were multiplying, Paru, Vayishritzu, Vayibru, Vayatmu, Bimod, Meod, Timalei Artotam, they became many, and Paro and the Mitzrim said, it's too many. Havanit Chakmabo, Penir Bet, they're going to be too many, they're going to overtake us. We have to do something about it. So they started with torturing, and they started with killing all the boys, and they started with enslaving, and they started all the suffering, all the pain and suffering that the Jews suffered in Mitzrayim, they started with that. Where's Hashem? Hashem calls us the chosen nation. Where is He? Where are we? Where's the love? Hashem says, "Bini bechori Israel, you are my children, my firstborn children." Where is that? Where is that love? What's going on over here? Kadosh Baruch Hu was mastir, was behester. He was hidden. But only afterwards, what happened was. That Hashem, not only that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed the Mitzrim so much power. Chazal actually say that all of the riches in the world ended up in Mitzrayim. Why? Because that was the only place in the world that had food during the years of the famine. So everyone had to go to Mitzrayim with all of their money and buy food. Where did all the money go? To Mitzrayim. They had all the wealth. They had all the power. And at the end, what happened? Who took all the wealth and who took all the power? The Bnei Israel. Right? At the end, when the Bnei Israel came out, we know Makat Choshech, they went and they took all their money back. The Bnei Israel left Mitzrayim with all of that money.
But I have a question in that Makat Choshech. That isn't it stealing? That they went to their houses and took all the money portion, or Hashem told them to go.
Beautiful. Look at Rashi and the pasuk. Afterwards, look at Rashi. Rashi answers your question. Beautiful question. Yeah. So they came out with all of the riches. They came out with power now. The Mitzrim. They left Mitzrayim. They went to the Yam Suf. All the Mitzrim drowned. Who is the more powerful one now? Am Yisrael. Who is the rich one now? Am Yisrael. So it came out that all this happened for a reason. When you look in retrospect, when you look in history, recent history, that's exactly what happened. The Bnei Yisrael looked back in history and they said, that's why we were there. That's why this happened. That's why that happened. So that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make complete fools out of the Mitzrim, and so that we will come out on top. We'll come out with all the money, all the power. But the question is, why can't Hashem reveal Himself to us? Why does it have to be behester? Why does it have to be hidden? Why does it have to be hidden? What is this, a game over here? A couple weeks ago, I went with my wife to this place. It's called the Escape Room. Right? You've been there? You heard of it. It's cool. You're in a room with a few other people. If you go with the whole group, then you're the whole group. But if you only go, like my wife and I, we only went, me and her. We were in a room. You're locked in the room. You're basically supposed to gather together some clues, try to pick this lock, break this lock, using the numbers and letters on the wall, and hints over here and hints over there. Finally, break this lock and open this door, and then open that door and break this lock, and until you finally make it out. You have an hour to get out. That's a game. It's a fun game, trying to figure out where everything is. What is Hashem playing a game on us? Hester, he's hiding himself, so we try to figure it out without him. What's going on over here? Why can't Hashem just reveal Himself very clearly? The answer is,
Whereas Truma is eaten by Kohanim anywhere.
The answer is that the Torah begins Bereshit bara Elokim. Bereshit bara Elokim. The Torah begins with the letter Bet. Why not with the letter Aleph? Aleph is the first letter in the Aleph Bet. Why not with the letter Aleph? Why with the letter Bet? So explains the Moranaim, the Holy Moranaim, Toyagen Alenu, he explains that Aleph represents Alufot Shalolam. Alufot Shalolam means HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu ruling over the entire world without any mask. That's Alufot Shalolam. If we would see HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bichvodo V'atzmo ruling the entire world out in the open, the world would not exist anymore because we would not be able to handle it. It's such a powerful energy that we would not be able to handle it. Just like the sun. Lahavdil, you can't compare HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the sun, but it's just a mashal. If the Gemara in Nedarim says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the sun and created some sort of mask around it, a layer, a cover around it. Why? Because if you would remove that cover, the sun, no one would be able to look, no one would be able to see, everyone would be blinded, everyone would be burnt. You wouldn't be able to live like that. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu put on a protective layer to the sun so that we could live, so that we could survive. Because if we would look at the sun straight in the face, we would not be able to survive. That's the sun. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, not to compare HaKadosh Baruch Hu lehavdil to the sun. There are people who worship the sun. They say their sun is their God. Chas v'shalom. That's not what we're saying, but it's just a mashal. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Aleph. Alefot shel Olam. We can't start the Torah with Aleph. So I have to start the Torah with Bet. What's Bet? Bite. Bite is a house. That's spelled Bet. How do you spell Bet? Bet Yud Tav. Bite. Bite is a house. What's a house? A house is something that protects something that's inside. That's why places that the Shekhinah is Shoreh. Where are places that the Shekhinah rests? For example, a shul. Right? A shul is a place where the Shekhinah rests. It's a Mikdash Me'at. It's a mini Bet HaMikdash. The Shekhinah rests. That's why it's called Bet HaKneset. It's a Bet HaKneset. It's a house that covers, it's a layer over the Shekhinah. That's what it means. Bet Midrash. Bet HaKneset. A bite, a house, an actual house. The Gemara in Darim says, the Gemara in Nida says, that Ish Ve'isha Zachu Shekhinah B'nehem. That if a husband and wife are Zochet Shalom Bayit, to peace in the home, the Shekhinah rests in their house. That's why he said you should be able to build a bayit neman b'Yisrael, makom hashra'at ha-shechina, we say to a newly married couple, a place that the Shekhinah should rest in your home. It's called a bayit, a house, because the Shekhinah needs a house. You can't see the Shekhinah out revealed in a revealed fashion. We won't be able to live. That's why the Torah begins with Bereshit, with Bet. But after that, then you could have glimpses of the Shekhinah. That's why in Bereshit itself, there's a letter Aleph there. Bara, there's a letter Aleph. Et, a letter Aleph, so on and so forth. Plenty of letters.
Bereshit, they're the first word of the...
But there are plenty of Alephs that come after the bit. Why? Because after you understand that it's supposed to be concealed, then you could have some glimpses of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in your life. But not that it should be revealed. That's why the Pasuk says in Tehillim, which we say every day in Mincha, Lam Natzeach Al Agidid Lebnekoach Mizmor, Ma'ididot, right? It says, Ki Shemesh Umagen Hashem Elokim, Havaya Elokim, Yudke Vavke Elokim, Ki Shemesh Umagen Yudke Vavke Elokim, right? What's the depth of that Pasuk? Shemesh is the sun. We just explained what the sun is. Umagen. What's the magen? A magen is the covering, the layer around it. So we have the shemesh and we have the magen. Havaya is yutke vavke. That's the midav rachamim. Elokim is a midav din. The midav rachamim, yutke vavke, Hashem's name of rachamim is more revealed. The Hashem's name of Din Elokim is more concealed. It really conceals. It covers up HaKadosh Baruch Hu's actions in the world, right? So we have Kishemesh Umagen. We have the Shemesh, the sun, and the Magen, and the covering. And then we have Havaya Yudke Vavke, which is like the Shemesh, and Elokim, which is the Midat Din, which is like the Magen. That's what it means. Kishemesh Umagen Yudke Vavke Elokim. That's the depth of the pasuk. That's the depth of the Pasuk. So that's why the Pasuk says Vayomer Hashem Moshe bo el Paro, come to Paro, because the whole point of all Mitzrayim is that Hakadosh Baruch Hu should be concealed, should be hidden. Should be hidden. Why? Because if we would see Hashem out in the open, it wouldn't be a normal world. It would be unnatural. Then we wouldn't be able to exist if we would see Hashem out in the open. That's why it's Bo'el Paro. First the Bet and then the Aleph. Bo'el Paro. Come to Paro. First the Bet, first the covering and then the Aleph. Not the Aleph and then the Bet. The Aleph is Alufo Shalom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's dominion over the entire world. First the Bet and then the Aleph. But we have to understand that even the Hester, the Afilu Behastara, Shebetocha Astara. We're not going to sing now. Although I really want to sing. Afilu Behastara, Shebetocha Astara, even in the hidden, the most hidden of parts, most hidden aspects of life, you have to believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there, you just don't see Him. You just don't feel Him, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is right there. For example, if a person is driving, okay? He's driving his car through the city streets. Can he see the entire city while he's driving? No. You're driving, there's a building blocking you, there's another street blocking, people blocking you, trees blocking you. You can't see the entire. You don't have a vision of the entire street. However, if a person's on a helicopter and he flies over the city, you could see the entire city together in one shot. In one shot. Right? That's what it means. When you live life in Olam Hazeh, sometimes you see you're living life when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is behastara, when he's hidden. When he's hidden, does that mean Hashem's not there? No, it just means the angle, the view that you have of your life, you're not able to see every single detail. But if you were in a different angle, you'd be able to see everything. Another mashal I heard from Eli Mansur. Eli Mansur says, we know that there's an entire 6,000 years of the creation of the world, right? So we have couple thousand years. This generation, that era, couple thousand years. That era, we're in the last couple of thousand years. Very nice. So imagine someone who's reading a book. He opens up the book to page 237. And he starts reading. At this point, John went to the store with tears in his eyes. And the store owner said to him, I still don't believe that you did this to my family. So on and so forth. You're reading. Does that make any sense to you? No, you don't know the story. You didn't read the first 236 pages. Doesn't make any sense to you. That's exactly what it means, Olam Hazeh. Olam Hazeh, 6,000 years. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a master plan of 6,000 years. Master plan. Everything makes total sense. What you're doing by claiming, where is Hashem? Where is Hashem? I don't see Hashem. Hashem doesn't rule over the world. What you're really doing in the year 2017 is you're basically opening up a book in the middle of the book and saying, it doesn't make any sense. How can you say such a thing? You didn't read the beginning of the book. You didn't see the beginning of creation until now.
You weren't there.
You weren't there. How can you say it doesn't make sense? So let's answer the questions now. Brit Milah. What's Brit Milah? So for many, many generations, people viewed Brit Milah to be harmful, damaging, okay? Shtuyot, chas v'shalom, shtuyot. It's damaging, you're harming a soul, you're harming an innocent baby. Where's your mercy? On the baby, on the newborn child, 8 days old, you have no shame. You're cutting off a piece of skin, you're wounding the baby. And unfortunately, many, many, many people in the world, still until today, view Brit Milah as that. Right? But us, we paid no attention to that throughout the generations. We self-sacrificed to go and do the mitzvah of Milah because Hashem said so. And now, only now, the American Academy of Pediatrics, to quote them, they proved through studying many, many, many studies that it's actually beneficial for the baby to be circumcised. It reduces health risks. Many, many health risks. So now, after so many years, they finally figured it out, that circumcision is actually healthy for the baby. But thousands of years ago, we didn't have those studies. We didn't prove it. But why did we do it? Because Hashem said so. The emunah that we had in Hashem, despite everyone else around us telling us, Shtuyot, you're harming the baby, don't do it. We still did it. That's why, Bizchut the Koran Pesach, that we did it despite the people around us, despite the mitzvah around us, that we weren't scared of them. with the Brit Milah that we did, despite the fact that all the people around us told us, what are you doing? You're harming the baby. We still did it. That's why Bishut the Brit Milah and Bishut Korban Pesach, we were redeemed. And that's also why Bishut, that we didn't change our names, our languages, and the way we dressed, we were also redeemed. Why? Because think about it. You're living in a different culture. We're living in a different culture. They act differently over there. They don't wear kippahs. They don't wear tzitzit. They don't keep Shabbat. They don't speak our language. We have to go and know and understand their language and speak in their language. We have to dress like them. We have to change our names. We have to have English names. English names. Non-Jewish names.
Jewish names.
We have to do that. We have to non-Jewish names so that we could assimilate, so that we could fit in. Fit in. Am Yisrael said, no way. We're not fitting in. We're Am Yisrael. We're not different. Even though there's pressure, there's societal pressure to fit in. People say, look, you go to a job interview, take your kippah off. They're going to look at you. They're going to say, he's Jewish. I don't want him. I'm not going to hire him. Chas v'shalom. Where's the emunah?
When they say your name.
Exactly. See your name, Goldstein. You think you're a kippah, you're gonna hide it? Like you go to a baseball game and you have those people there, they try to hide the fact that they're Jewish. They wear the caps, right? The caps, and they wear their polo shirt tucked in. And they expect people not to know that they're Jewish, right? So anyway, so what are you stupid? You're an idiot. You're not wearing a kippah to a job interview. Where's your emunah in Hashem? This person that's sitting in front of you, he's a puppet. He's going to decide if you're making an income this year. He's going to decide. You walk on the street without a kippah. What are you ashamed of? You're ashamed because of the surroundings, because of people around you. People around you are going to say, he's a Jew. You're ashamed of being a Jew? I once saw someone. He's a student. I saw him. He wasn't wearing a kippah. So I said to him, Tagid, Efo Arosh Shelcha? Where's your head? Where's your mind? He said, oh, Rabbi, I'm sorry. He takes out his kippah. But what was he wearing? A huge Magen David necklace. I said, listen to me, you're a hypocrite. I don't understand. You're ashamed to wear a kippah, but you're wearing a huge Magen David necklace. Who are you fooling? In the zchut that we didn't change our names, we didn't change the way we dressed, we didn't change our clothing, our language, we were redeemed. Why? Because we didn't care about the people around us. We had emunah HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem says, you do this, you do this. And that answers all the questions. So, Bishut, emunah nigalum, Mitzrayim, Bishut emunah, atidim leigael, Bishut the fact that we're not assimilating, we're holding on to our tradition, we're holding on to our minagim, Baruch Shelo Asani Goy, Bishut that we should have a geulah, bimhera v'yamenu, amen.